Do they have somebody in their back pocket that knows and helps coordinate their finances? And does that reduce their anxiety and financial life when they go into practice?
Welcome to the Doctor's Eyes Only podcast, brought to you by Vestia Personal Wealth Advisors, where our mission is to help highly specialized physicians achieve wealth that matters.
Welcome to another episode of the Doctor's Eyes Only podcast. We gave Lauren Oshman the day off. So I'm Cameron Hellmuth.
Hi, this is Brad Quick. What I wanted to talk about today with my buddy and partner, Cam Hellmuth, on the Orthopedic Practice Group is one of the conferences we were just at in Charlotte, North Carolina. This one was the Foundation for Physician Advancement, something that is near and dear to our hearts, where it combines both the business of orthopedics and then also just a lot of great information shared across the spectrum, whether it's from a contract negotiation standpoint, whether it's a how to run a practice efficiently, and that kind of thing. So a lot of great information. And so, Cam, one of the things I thought was amazing was your idea about how to gather some information about some of the gaps that exist in kind of this business of orthopedics.
What's interesting is I love this particular conference because it's a very practical approach. They talk about the hard-hitting issues inside of orthopedics and the things that you don't normally learn about inside of a medical training situation through fellowship. So we thought about, hey, let's keep the spirit of education going. We're going to do a survey and we want to hear about, in a surgeon's mind, what do they feel like are the biggest financial pain points today? And so we took some surveys. We got around 26 participants of the, you know, roughly 60 in attendance. So very good participation.
Yeah.
What was interesting is some of the results that we got back were maybe surprising to us in that we gave some high level financial planning and some other issues, as well as some granular issues that we thought maybe would get a little more attention. But the one that rang tried and true, no matter if they were, you know, just going into practice, 3+ years in practice, it was a general financial planning. It was very interesting because that in our minds consists of all those other things all combined. But in their mind, it is separate. It is maybe something that doesn't think of everything holistically. And I think that was one of the biggest areas of opportunity that we found was, you know, do people have all these plans in place, maybe in silos, but are they lacking some sort of cohesive planning strategy to bring them all together, which is critical for a physician situation?
Absolutely. What was interesting, Cam, it seemed to me that there was a really broad audience too. This wasn't just a bunch of in practice. This wasn't private or academic. It wasn't just starting out or retiring. It was kind of all over the map, it seemed like.
Yeah, and really the only congruency we pulled between somebody in practice longer versus somebody just going into practice is that there was a general sense of feeling like they had more financial knowledge as they were in practice longer, which makes a lot of sense because the first year going into practice is literally trial by fire. You're learning everything as you go, especially if you're in private practice and you're navigating benefits. There's just so much that goes into that first year going into practice. So it really was interesting. But of those people that still said they had more financial knowledge, they easily picked 3 pain points. They're like, yep, I still, you know, that's a challenge, that's a challenge, and that's a challenge. So that was very interesting. And I think the other piece was our next step, trying to figure out, now that we know some of these pain points, is there a connection between people who have, you know, some of those primary financial problems solved? Do they have a planner? Do they have somebody in their back pocket that knows and helps coordinate their finances? And does that reduce their anxiety and financial life when they go into practice? Because again, there's so much that hits them. That 2-day course was a great example. There's so many things they have to tackle, and it's really tough to prioritize, especially the finances. That's the boring stuff. The surgery, that's the fun stuff, right?
It's interesting because anecdotally, we would say that's the evidence, although it's an N of one. If you remember AAKUS a couple of years ago, when one of Chris Robbins' orthopedic clients came in and blew away the survey we had there. Remember, he scored like one of the best in there. And it was, we'd love to say that was because of Chris, but I think the data will tell us a lot about that as we go forward.
No, I look forward to it. Whether it's more FPA courses, this is a very practical approach. It's also nice because it removes some of the clinical focus in some of these courses. This is very much focused on the business side, branding, understanding private equity, understanding the clinical part as far as like being a business person. But even when we get into clinical settings, right, when we go to AUKUS or when we go to Academy, it's interesting. I want to do these same surveys to figure out, does the mindset shift when people are focused on business and non-clinical topics, does that mindset shift or do they still have these financial issues and are they relevant and are they the same? I'm just very curious in how those things will align.
That's a really good point. Whether it's in a clinical setting where it's like an AUKUS where you mentioned where it's all focused on the science, that kind of thing, it'd be interesting to see how much the financial, the business aspect plays into their minds or kind of where that's at, if there's any difference there. So I guess it sounds like our plan is to continue on and continue to do the survey at other business of orthopedics like courses, as well as some of the AAOS, AUKUS, or other specialties, OTA, than the hand meetings, et cetera.
I think the reality is we want more sample set. We want to hear more about this. And the key is no one has really done this survey. That a lot of people have done similar studies, but more in a vacuum. So we really want to amplify that and be kind of boots on the ground. We're going to see hundreds of orthopedists throughout the year. It's a great time for us to be asking these questions. And our hope is turn this into some sort of formal educational opportunity to then, you know, send these issues out to some of these top training programs in the country and get, you know, education early. That's the key. Learn early. It's a lot easier to figure out ahead of time versus on the job training when it comes to finances. That's for sure. We tried to assimilate this research or the way that we're presenting this information to how they would understand it in medical school. You know, research papers and the format they're going through, it comes from large sample sets of data. They have the benefit of pulling from, you know, patient populations and large healthcare systems. You know, it's tougher. It's a little more intimate when you're asking questions about finances. You send out a broad survey and it's just, hey, you're going to get all sorts of answers. So we figured by getting this sample set live, in person, be able to articulate exactly what we're trying to achieve. Number one, I think it brings the defenses down if people are willing to say, yeah, I'll give you some feedback because this is something that we all are going through together. And then we can present it in a format that reads very similar to a research paper and it presents this data in a way that they would understand.
I think it does, Cam. It also informs as we do more of these and we're presenting kind of from the podium regarding kind of the impact of financial planning to them. It helps us inform where do we spend the most time. We try to survey the audience and that works relatively well in general, but not everybody's weighing in. But this will give us, I think, a lot more data around what's truly on people's minds based on whether it's taxes, whether it's the planning piece, whatever it is, based on kind of what the audience is. So I think it also helps us inform those presentations and make those more relevant for the participants in some of our upcoming courses.
And hopefully it represents the fact that we understand orthopedists, which is we're going to give you a 60-second survey to get the answers. We're going to get you the information as a follow-up, but we know you don't have, you know, elaborate amounts of time to go through a very intricate set of questions and, you know, just for data purposes. So that 60 seconds or less survey is really what it turned into. And it was a great way to garner the feedback that we wanted.
Yeah, I think like as we deal with our clients in general, we want to get to know them and what their specific mind, what's in that. But certainly the jumpstart we can get, whether it's the surveys and or the other meetings where we ask them, you know, what's on their mind. I think that it does help us to get to know them and that jumpstart and just shows, much like Cam did an ebook written with orthopedic surgeons, that helps just get in their minds and share what that aspect from them directly.
I think it's also interesting to track this over time because this is a snapshot in time. And I think if we would have, you know, turned the time back in 2020, we had a very different set of issues that were being presented, right? The obvious reasons, but it was interesting. We did presentations to Rush, to Ortho Carolina, to other very large orthopedic practices. And during that time, all virtual, of course, but during that time, believe it or not, the number one issue being raised, even by fellows or residents, was estate planning and asset protection and legacy planning. So life changes, and we know that a financial plan should never be just a static thing that sits there in time. But right now, we're seeing, hey, on the back end of this pandemic, there's a whole other set of financial issues out there. but what is top of mind? So yeah, it helps us. We're never going to assume that this is across the board, applies to every orthopedic surgeon, but it's a very good place to start, at least so that we're talking the same language and we're talking about what's relevant. We're not wasting time and talking about, you know, something that doesn't apply to you necessarily.
For sure. As you'd mentioned, when there's discussion in Congress, for example, of taxes, it seems like that becomes a hot topic, is how am I going to be impacted by the tax changes, or what does my tax situation or strategy look like? For sure.
As if taxes were never a problem for orthopedic surgeon, that's correct. Always top of mind.
Yes.
And that rang true in the survey as well, but agreed. It always changes. I just think it was a great way to get some feedback, to get unbiased feedback. That's the other piece. I think people get a little uncomfortable talking money to begin with. This was a very non-invasive way for us to ask at a high level what those pain points are. And it was very much generalized, but it was still getting to the root of financial planning is a key consideration that everyone has on top of their mind, but not very many people have a true strategy to bring all those different facets of financial planning into one spot.
It also, Cam, if you think about the way these guys are brought up and trained, is the science aspect. And so they're used to getting into what's the data say. And so as we get more masses of data, as we literally survey them, ask them and report that back out, I think it'll be really interesting to them to see how, you know, in mass, large groups of orthopedic surgeons would respond to this.
And not to mention, whether you're a training program, whether you're a foundation for physician advancement, these are invaluable insights for you to have. If you're trying to plan an event and you're trying to educate a group of surgeons, what better way to know exactly what's on their mind than a survey? I say this to many people as a post-event survey too, but pre-event survey, we're doing these ahead of time because we want to talk the talk and walk the walk with whatever's on their mind. And I think programs are especially looking for this too, because it is hard to get, unfiltered feedback of exactly what is on their mind. So hopefully we can use this as insights to other groups as they're trying to bring some sort of education, and financial education specifically has been on the forefront the last few years of people saying, you know, orthopedic surgeons are becoming way savvier business people coming into practice. Now they need to know how to manage the business, the practice, and the personal finances.
The best connection I had was literally with one of the faculty members, and it was, he mentioned taxes and taxes and taxes. So he said, how do I mark all three? And so it really gets to the bottom of, okay, these are clearly on your mind. Tell me more about that. And just getting to it, it's more tax strategy. I feel like lately, as I'm earning more, I have to caveat that with, although I only bring back this amount. So it really, especially when he drilled the point, it was not only his first, it was all three of his top three, if he could vote that way, just having that conversation. And then that leads into the conversation about how we can help with a tax strategy to help make sure that he pays exactly what he's owed and not more than that, right? There's very few advantages that these folks earn. So we want to make sure that we maximize the opportunities. And so that was a really good one with one of the faculty members who clearly is more settled in his career and his financial situation, but that was kind of the top of his mind.
Yeah, I'll echo. I think that was a good observation. You know, faculty or in practice that we're attending, I think people just at some point assume they have it all together, right? And it's not to say that they don't. They have obviously a great head on their shoulders. They have a fantastic financial, you know, structure around them. They make plenty of money. The reality is the same issues apply for most surgeons, whether you're not even in practice or you're 10 years in practice. It's just the severity, it's the scale, it's the scope of all those issues just changed over time. So I had quite a few conversations that I really, really enjoyed. Most of mine were centered around change. They were just, whether it's I'm moving into a new practice, I'm getting married, I'm trying to combine finances. I had multiple conversations with that, which is, you know, I've got a very successful spouse. I'm successful. How do I merge these finances together? Because it's one thing, challenging enough to move into practice for the first time, add getting married on top of that, add planning your life together, starting off on the right financial foot. It's just a lot to consider. And you have two different personalities. So getting those people on the same page and talking through, you know, what is important to you as a family, and then how do you align your finances around that? I love those conversations, and I had multiple of those at the FPA course. It was very good. I mean, the reality is people go into those situations a little bit hesitant. They have their walls built up a little. So to give them some way to engage with us through a 60-second survey was actually very helpful. Then the fact that on the heels of that, we're using it for education and to give them information that they helped us supply, I think that really resonated. And really everybody that I got feedback from was, hey, this is pretty easy and I appreciate you doing this because this is just not something we get taught and it's on my mind. I just don't know who to turn to. I don't know who to ask. So naturally, you ask your parents, you ask your coworkers, you ask your attendings, all the people around you that you trust, but everybody has some vested interest in something. So it is nice if people can find that trusted third party that can just say, hey, straight shooting, like, that's a good idea. That's a bad idea. You should think of this and don't miss this. And I think that's what most surgeons look for.
Yeah. And I'll pile on just a little bit. I think both what our conversations were and then overall, just the course in general, there's a whole lot of things that when surgeons went to courses in the past and go to courses that are more clinically faced, this is taboo subjects, right? There's a avoid reimbursement and avoid talking about trying to make money, et cetera, which is part of the reason the gap exists. So those conversations with us, it was just refreshing to be able to like have these conversations with the light shining, with, you know, the full transparency in a way that makes a lot of sense. And it's okay to want to make business, you know, to make money in the business, particularly given declining reimbursements, which these folks are all up against. And so
yeah,
the fact is that being able to talk about this was super refreshing for all the attendees to be able to talk about how to negotiate their contracts and hear that from a really well known and esteemed contracts lawyer who specializes in working with orthopedic surgeons, for example, to talk about private equity, which is a big unknown for all these folks. Yeah. It's out there,
hot topic,
hot and heavy in orthopedics. And so to get an expert opinion, those kind of things, and as well as being able to talk about their personal financials, where again, these folks are used to being the master in the room. They're the ones that everybody looks to and they have to have all the answers when there's a patient on the table, right? And to be okay and be vulnerable and say, I don't have all the answers, but here's somebody, the Cam Helmuth of the world, the CFPs that are been doing this a while with orthopedic surgeons that do have those answers.
Yeah, and I think it really just resonates, Brad, when we're sitting talking to them in their own vernacular and we understand these things. I think that's the reason people go to these groups and they go to these events is because they get to see colleagues and get to see other people talking their language. And so it is, you know, it's not always the case when you have people surrounded by you that really understand your situation. So to take that out of the equation and be like, hey, we understand the way that you work and the way that you're paid and the way that you struggle with taxes and the time management and all these other things, like, we get that. Now we can get to the root of what is really on your mind. That helps tremendously. I've seen surgeons explain to people that are not in the know how they work and how they get paid. And it sounds like such a glamorous job, but, you know, really these first handful of years, especially, you're grinding like you've been grinding for the past 15 years in training, and a lot gets thrown at you. So it is, it's good to just have places where you can let your guard down, be vulnerable, ask what's really on your mind, and hopefully have people around you that get you and that can kind of just speak your language and tell you straight of what you should or shouldn't do. But one other story that I'll tell is I watched a conversation unfold between a fellow transitioning to practice and one of the faculty. And it was such a genuine, wholehearted conversation, multiple job opportunities on the table for this surgeon. And all they did is look at the faculty member and say, would you take it if you were me? Like, what am I missing? This sounds too good to be true. I just don't want to be bamboozled. Again, super, super, super smart person. They just genuinely wanted to make sure that they were going to be okay. And it was so cool to see the faculty member say, well, did you think about this, 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 and this? Yep, yep, yep. Hey, I would do it. I mean, you're young, you've got options. I would do it. Like, if I were you, I would go through the same exact situation. So that kind of practical approach and not have someone grandstanding or trying to, you know, position themselves a specific way. So cool to watch unfold.
That was, I think, the faculty in general. So the surgeon faculty, we worked with this crew for a while, and they really are kind of the creme, the best of the best. And they each have the kind of their niche specialty areas within this financial discussion, as well as some of the external faculty, whether it's the legal or the PE or some of the industry folks even that really add a lot. And I think they're just very approachable, as we are, obviously, in that setting where you can walk up and there's nobody who feels embarrassed about grabbing them and asking that, you know, job related question or the how I get paid question, or should I buy into ancillaries or ASCs, et cetera. Thank you for tuning in to the Doctor's Eyes Only podcast today. Feel free to like and subscribe. And if you had any questions, because we covered a lot of information today, please reach out at myteam@vestia.com or reach out to our website at vestiaadvisors.com.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the Doctor's Eyes Only podcast. We hope today's conversation advanced your journey to wealth that matters. Click the subscribe button below so you don't miss a single episode. And we'll see you next time. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Vestia Advisors LLC. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. It should not be construed as legal or tax advice and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified attorney or tax advisor. This information is not an offer or a solicitation to buy or sell securities. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Before investing, you should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses associated with investment products. Investment decisions should be based on an individual's own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or guarantee against loss. Consult your financial professional before making any investments. Investment advisory services offered through Vestia Personal Wealth Advisors, Vestia Retirement Plan Consultants, and Vestia Advisors LLC. Securities offered through Ausdale Financial Partners, Inc., 5187 Utica Ridge Road, Davenport, Iowa, 52807. Member FINRA, SIPC. Vestia Personal Wealth Advisors, Vestia Retirement Plan Consultants, Vestia Advisors LLC, and Ausdale Financial Partners, Inc. are independently owned and operated.